Hey everybody, welcome to Pop Culture Uncovered. I am Pete, and instead of Belle and Armand, who are not with me this week, I am joined by one of my frequent partners last year when we were doing a lot of declassifieds during COVID. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man.
I really wanted, so this will be a special episode, one of our declassifieds. We're going to tackle a topic that you and I discussed about a year and a half ago, I think, which is one of our favorite shows and one of most people's favorite shows, Bob's Burgers. Yeah, we did like a whole two-parter about, you know, favorite episodes and just what we love about the show in general. And I feel like, yeah, it's funny because right after that podcast, we went through a season of Bob's Burgers that I didn't feel was necessarily their best. I mean, it's one of those shows that, like, even their worst seasons and worst episodes are still must-watches for me and are still, I've still seen each one a dozen times. So it's hard to, like, really be super critical. But it does feel like this season, all of a sudden, like, you know, has just been really good. And for a show that's been, this is its 12th season, like, this is when a lot of shows have been so long in the tooth, they're just, you know, just going through the motions. And it really doesn't feel that way at all to me. What do you think, Ben?
I think the show's growing. And I mean, the characters in the show are growing. I think you were totally right about the COVID season, where mm-hmm. it was obvious they weren't getting the same voice. I mean, Mickey had a different voice. Mm-hmm. I think it was harder to write for the show during COVID. And I felt they recycled a lot of stuff, like Bob getting in a car accident and having to deal with insurance.
There were some episodes that I just felt like last year, they were good, but they still felt kind of sad. You know, like the first couple seasons of Bob's Burgers, there were episodes like Family Fracas and other ones where it's just like, oh, we've established this is just a family of losers. And so anytime you think that, you know, something fun or interesting is going to happen, it's just womp womp. And, you know, they end up sort of the lovable loser family. And I think the better episodes stop doing that and stop making it about, you know, Bob, you know, being sort of the butt of Jimmy Pesto's, you know, failing upwards for the most part. And then, you know, last season you had like the, you know, Linda, you know, taking the kids out, you know, dragging everybody out to get a really good family picture. But it wasn't as funny as I thought it would be. It was mostly just kind of a drag. The same thing with, you know, the parent teacher day when like Linda's punished the kids, but then she gets arrested. And I feel like the lesson there is, you know, like never tell your kids. I don't know.
And did you notice Teddy got more desperate and kind of
weird?
And like Teddy wasn't the lovable loser. He started to get really like mean spirited in a lot of episodes where. Yeah. The Santa episode kind of saved him at the end there. So this season, what I loved is, like, they've taken every trope and they spun it. Mm-hmm. So, like, the Valentine's Day this year was about Bob and Linda going over to the tomato basket or whatever it's called. It wasn't about, you know, Tina being heartbroken over Jimmy Jr. this year.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas episode, you know, wasn't about them getting presents. It was about Gene breaking that record and, like, the whole family, like, coming together to like celebrate his tradition or Thanksgiving. That's like my favorite episode every year.
Yeah, we could do an entire, I feel like I could talk for like an hour just on that episode. I won't, thankfully. But, you know, the Thanksgiving episodes have, I know for a lot of people they're their favorites, and I'm always like, this is just the same thing about like Bob obsessing over the turkey and then something bad's going to happen and they're not going to be able to eat the turkey. I still will marathon them, you know, Thanksgiving time. Don't get me wrong. I'm not skipping a single Thanksgiving episode. But it did have that feeling. And this time, I don't know. I like when the Belchers get wins. I like, you know, you're right. I like when the things that we've seen happen again and again and again get subverted. And the show just makes that more interesting. I have to give credit to the show for knowing when to subvert those things. And Thanksgiving was one of them. Like, Bob being, like, able to, like, it was funny, when the scene was happening, I was like, this is like an episode of something where, you know, like, you know, the, you know, he gets called up to the, you know, to pitch, you know, he's like, you know, a fan, I get called up to pitch, or like, you know, a guy in the crowd getting called up to, you know, to sing along, you know, to sing with the band. And that's exactly what it was. Like, he's at the perfect place he's the right place at the right time. He's a chef. They're like, we need someone to cook all this Thanksgiving food. And he's just like, he's the happiest he's ever been. And, you know.
Yeah. And the nursing home was just a great setting to do that because the side story of them putting the parade on was hilarious. Because I love Zeke's grandma. I love Zeke. Like, that one, the Halloween episode, where normally it's about the kids getting candy and all these hijinks and you know, governing. This was all about, like, Linda and Gale, like, dodging that crazy dog hair groomer. It totally went opposite way, and I loved it. It was so damn funny when, like, she tells Gale to sit down and starts petting her and stroking her hair. I lose it every time. Dude,
speaking of which, all right, so I will just say about, you know, to wrap up the Thanksgiving episode, it is one of my favorite episodes when it comes to, like, Bob's relationship with Louise. And there's something really wholesome about the kids too. Like, that's the kind of stuff my brother and I would do. Like, you know, we were corny kind of kids, and we like putting on, you know, plays or putting on, you know, parades, or, you know, I remember we did like a whole, you know, NASCAR series with our Hot Wheels, you know, just going around the living room. And, like, you know, to see kids be kids, to see the Belchers and everybody, to see them all be kids, because you just kind of, you know, get used to them being adults and or, you know, that have all these clever lines. And it's really fun in the episodes that where they are truly, truly kids. It's a lot of fun. But what I was going to say is, how good has Gale been? Gale, who is never one of my favorite characters, never, like, Gale in small doses is hilarious, a lot of fun. I mean, Megan Mullally is a gift to the earth, but Gale can really be just overused and under-funny, and that is not the case this season. Like, every time the Gale shows
episode,
up.
The sauce episode, every time her aunt says, Linda, eat some chicken. And, like, every time she calls her Linda, if you notice, like, Gail's mouth just gets a little tighter. You can see her, like, about to bubble up every time. And when Gale leans into the feud, it is the most awesome thing ever. Like, I liked Gale. But have you noticed, like, they've really done a good job of taking kind of the annoying foils and turning them into part of the family. Like, what they did with Millie. Like, Millie's not just a kid, like, chasing Louise anymore. Like, she did the Greek coin scam with her. And she was there the very first episode where she's, you know, conning Louise into getting her little fairy wands. And Teddy with the mustache trying to, like, get closer to Bob. I love that episode because he's just like, yeah, do you put a treatment on it, Bob? You know, how long do you let it grow? And Bob's like, just let it go.
Yeah, and knowing Teddy as a character, seeing him lean so far into, like, getting a mustache and trying to be like Bob makes absolute sense. Like, there's nothing about it where you're like, oh, they don't know where to go. Like, no, this is a natural progression for Teddy, and for him to, yeah, to start, you know, like, how do you groom your mustache, Bobby? This was absolutely perfect.
He's the type of guy that would love that. And another one I really, really, really liked is the episodes where the kids are making up a story, and it's normally based off a movie where they place a little homage to it. Like the one where, you know, they were trying to figure out why Pop-Pop was, like, scared of a tree falling. And they came up with this Jack of the Beanstalk thing. And then the two-parter at the end of the year with Blade Runner references. And I think it's at its best when it's playing little games like that with other stories and putting them into it. Like the Waterworld episode or stuff like that. I really dig it.
Well, yeah, speaking of Teddy from earlier, like the episode where he goes back, like we've heard about Teddy being in the Navy. We get some, like, you know, some glimpses of what he was like when he was younger. You know, we go back to, you know, the shark episode, you know, where he was a lifeguard. But we know, you know, we don't get any of his Navy time. And that part, that episode to me, as a person who was in the Navy, like is hilarious. There's some, like, cartoonish stuff that, like, people always throw in about Navy stuff that is, like, wholly inaccurate and terrible. but there are elements where I'm like, okay, the spirit of this is pretty good. You know, like...
Yeah, double dip. Double dip is...
Double dip is...
That's because we both been in the military. Like, you get... You don't, like, give yourself a nickname. You don't. And people that do typically don't get the nickname they want. Like, they occur naturally of stuff like that. and you can react one of two ways. You can lean into it and accept it, or you can hold resentment till the day you die. And mm-hmm. that's why that episode hit so home to me. Mm-hmm. Because, like, it's and then at the end where he's just like, yeah, you were teasing me the whole time. They were like, no, Teddy, you are an older sailor. And, like, right. And it's like, oh, man, it's somebody that has beat themselves up over mistakes and how people perceived him for years. That whole, like, episode, just like I said, the side characters are getting a lot of growth this year. Mm-hmm. And I love that about the show. It has changed a lot of things we thought were going to happen and just altered them enough that going into this movie, mm-hmm. I'm stoked. I think we're going to see Ginger. I think that just
no.
Enough.
See, now they've done me wrong with Ginger. With Linda's best friend, who she's always on the phone with, we never see. Yeah. Which is odd because we've met everyone else other than the mayor, who also gets referenced a lot.
The mayor,
and Ginger. I felt like that episode that was such a tease where you knew you weren't going to get to see. We weren't going to get to see Ginger. We didn't. Just felt mean, but it was still funny. You're right about villains though, or like the characters who are just usually opposed to the Belcher kids. I love seeing the unlikely team ups. Not only do we have Millie, but we also had Tammy.
Oh yeah, yeah. She in that last episode where like she actually sides with like Tina. For like mm-hmm. a second, because she's upset about her braces. Like, and then of course she goes back to being terrible, because right. that's who Tammy is. But like, they're not just like one-dimensional characters. Like mm-hmm. Richard is just slowly growing them just enough, and I think that's really good for the long-term success of that show. Because I'm not tired of it, and mm-hmm. Little things like Louise not wanting to kill a spider. And growing up, and you really see, like, when Bob, like, sets up downstairs so he can actually sleep because Linda's, like, kicking him too much. Mm-hmm.
that felt a little close to home.
I know, and that's why I love that family, because I think we all have our friends that are a little weird, and mm-hmm. Everybody wonders, why are you friends with that guy? But in the end, you love them, and, like, your family's a little weird, but, like, I think Bob does a good job of, like, showing how even weird is normal. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm Bob a lot. Mm-hmm. I can put myself in his shoes, but I want to be Linda. Because mm-hmm. she just seems like she has more fun than anybody on Earth. Bob, they really reconnected that part of the show with me watching it.
And I think there's some standard things that they do really well that they always do. The story time. Story time episode, whether it was, the Mother's Day play, whether it's Gail, meeting the right guy or the Scott Bakula stuff that, there's always a story aspect, a story episode where the kids are, competing to tell a story. And we hadn't gotten, Bob Sr. in such a long time. And it makes me sad because I like sometimes when they get serious, and the dynamic between Bob and his dad is definitely like as complicated as fathers and sons can be, and so I love seeing him show up, but it's so rare that you see him. So having him there and to have him interact with the grandkids and have this mystery and like we like spend some time with him, just like we did with Teddy in that episode, was a lot of fun. Like I liked that, and I felt like it's been a long time since we got that kind of fun.
And we got a fish odor episode this year. Mm-hmm. And I think as long as one episode has a fish odor in it, I can live with it.
Yeah, I feel like you've been sort of panicked.
Yeah.
That we weren't going to get fish odor episodes.
Well, at least we got one, and I can live with that. So I'm really happy with the way Bob's is going. Because, like, when I heard about the Great North, I was really worried that, like, oh, no, they're going to pull, like, a Simpsons and start putting all their good stuff on Futurama or Family Guy.
Yeah.
They started making how many spinoffs, and I think that show is kind of dying for a while, but it seems like when you start splitting up that creativity, like, typically the original show tends to suffer. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that hasn't happened with Family Guy. If anything, I think they're kind of expanding now. Like, they've laid tracks for so many. Remember on the Valentine's thing, the babysitter that always stays there, and she's got the hot for the Notary Republic?
Yes, oh my god, the Notary Republic guy was so weird and yet so good. And you're right, like, it is, to me, it's a little bit like The Simpsons at this point, where you have a large enough cast of characters that you can do a lot of things. And I think, unlike The Simpsons, there's still some originality. It's not as bloated. I mean, Simpsons has been on like 30 something years. Like, it's hard to compare the two. But where we're at right now, there are enough characters that even if you get them for like 2 seconds, you're like, that's, it feels familiar. It feels close. And Nat, I'm always waiting to see when Nat is going to pop up. She has been, only the last few seasons, a relatively new character, but now she's just like an essential part of that show for me.
Oh, I love her. And another one, do you remember the one where it's earlier this season where Linda's thinking about cheating on her hairdresser and going to the new place?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Like I said, they've done so much with this little universe now where it's obvious she's a horrible hairdresser. It's obvious she's a horrible person, okay? But, like, I love her. Like, I don't want Linda to go to that new place. I don't. And that's how you know, like, a show's growing, when you start caring about not just, like, Louise being the scamp or Homer being the idiot or Bob's Burgers. It took me a while to warm up to. Hank Hill and King of Hell was my favorite show ever. So when Bob's Burgers sort of replaced it, it took me a while to get into this show, but I'm so glad I did, you know?
I feel like also they're getting more daring. They're getting more clever. Like, you know, we had the two-parter that was, you know, Tina, basically comparing bullying, you know, to Blade Runner, you know, being teased and stuff to, like, Blade Runner. It became like, it was like a really serious issue. And, or at least it was treated, you know, in a very clever and sensitive way. While also being just amazing, because you're just sitting there like, how is Bob's Burgers doing Blade Runner and doing it like so unapologetically, you know, like, you know, what a good time they're having.
But when they're reading the diaries and she has a Fast and the Furious fan fiction diary and a Jurassic Park where like Jimmy Jr.'s like, it's dinosaurs. I mean, like, they are so good at taking those movies and spinning them in such a way that they're still familiar. Oh my gosh, like, Warren Picard's a genius, really. The what's another one that where they played off it, Lost in Bedslation, where they're trying to build a loft bed for Louise.
Oh yeah.
The Gamers, Bob and Gene are trying to host, but they have those little side stories too where, like, if you're stuck in geek culture, like, you are rewarded with the little inside jokes that you don't have to get to enjoy the episode, but, like, it does add to. You know what I mean? Like, my kids had never seen Blade Runner. They had no idea what was going on there, but they still found that whole thing funny. And I think that's how you know you really hit on a good show. I really do.
So what are we...
Okay, go ahead.
Well, no, do you want to finish your thought?
Yeah. What did you think about the ugly vegetables, where they buy the misshapen vegetables and they're trying to pass them off and Teddy won't eat them because they're ugly vegetables?
That was... I didn't really think there was going to be much to that, but, you know, when you have Teddy's reaction, you yeah, still tend to get something good, because you're like, okay, like, the ugly vegetables thing has, like, had its time and come and gone and became a trend, and then... You know, and like, it's not a thing. And then, but then you have Teddy, just like the way he reacts, and like, to anything, you can make pretty much anything funny. That was probably, you know, one of the earlier episodes and one of the ones I didn't enjoy as much. And it made me feel like a lot of the episodes, like the first two or three of the season, sort of made me feel like, oh, we're just going to kind of get the same as we had the last season. And then all of a sudden they like found their rhythm and it's just been... it's been bonkers at how good it is. You know, even the episode, you know, where the woman who used to live in the apartment, You know, her coming by.
Sorry.
That was hard to. It was one of those ones that was a little hard to get through, but had some gems. But yeah, once we got past that.
And the whole family, yeah, where she's like, yeah, we used to keep it clean. And it's like, oh, man, like, you can't look down on the Belchers. Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah. But it worked well. But that crystal, I love the ugly vegetables, because remember, Mr. Fron had let her use the crystal. And, like, she thought it had all these powers. Then Tammy steals the crystal. Oh, and it kind of became the ghost episode. But at the end, like, Fron scores the girl. So that's sort of like Charlie Brown kicking the football. Even Mr. Fron's growing a little bit this season, you know?
Well, I don't know. For me, there's always a kind of back and forth, because I like the characters and the way they're established and the way they interact. But it is nice to see them grow, to see them change, to see, you know, loser characters get a win, to see, you know, winning characters, you know, show some empathy or do something new. Like, everyone becomes more complex that way. The characters become more interesting, the characters, and oftentimes the situations become more funny when that happens. You know, the idea of Mr. Frond with you know, a girlfriend or being in a steady relationship means, you know, that we have the opportunity later on to flip that completely upside down if we want to. What are your hopes for either the rest of the season or going into next season? Is there a rest of the season? It almost felt like a finale with the two-parter.
I think it might be the end of the season.
I wasn't even paying attention.
There's a few things I'd really like to see moving forward. Remember this season, like, Bob basically came to terms with the fact he doesn't have any friends outside of his family. But remember the couple, I forget, it's like Tim and Maya, and Teddy couldn't stand them because they were like the hip couple, and Bob and Linda realized they can't stay out till 1 o'clock in the morning because they're friends. I'd like to see them reintroduced.
Yeah.
They're getting a divorce or something, and Bob has to pick a side, but I think there's a lot to mine there.
And I don't love the narrative either that, like, Bob has no friends. We've seen his high school friend, you know, the rich guy. We've seen, you know, Bob, you know, get really excited about meeting, you know, that new friend. I forget, do they turn out to be nudists or something? But, like, you know, and Skip Marooch. Bob has people in his corner. Bob has people that like him. And we have the constant of Teddy. We don't know what to do with Mort. I like that. That's just sort of the accepted thing in the Bob's Burgers world. It's like, we don't know what to do with Mort, so sometimes we'll throw him in there to have somebody for Teddy to yell at. And that's fine. You know, I think it's kind of a bummer with, you know, the actor who plays Jimmy Pesto, you know, him not being around, because there was some growth between Jimmy and Bob. That was finally making that relationship interesting when they had sort of run out of reasons to have them interact.
A little growth from Trev, too.
Yeah.
Trev was starting to become a character that wasn't just Jimmy's, like little lackey or his little, like, yeah, boss, yeah. You know, he was becoming, like, whatever, like, Jimmy would make a joke, and he's like, oh, man, mental health, not cool. Don't make fun of that. Like, he was standing up for himself, or he'd come over to Bob, like, hey, man, I got to run the restaurant. Would you go help Jimmy? And it was, like, that little thing, like, yeah, Jimmy really likes you. Like, I wouldn't ask you to do this. We know you're a good guy, Bob. We just have to give you a hard time, right. You know?
I think, you know, that, yeah, the episode with the at the marina definitely was a turning point, Jimmy being sick. I'm hoping next year we get a little more Harold and Edith. I loved the episode with Bob and Edith. I don't think you can necessarily recreate, you know, lightning in a bottle, but, you know, the episode where Edith is, you know, going around, you know, stealing quilt squares from all of her rivals, and, you know, trying to get her square into the quilt, and duping Bob the entire way was hilarious, because they always manage to outwit Bob. It's really fun to have the two of them there. I still keep holding my breath that someone will listen to me. I really want another episode, or just an entire series based around Tiffany Haddish's character with the sandwich shop. With the, what is it, 37 sandwiches or 49 sandwiches, something like that. Like, that episode was hilarious.
You want to see if she actually goes on the date?
I want to see, I just want to see, yeah, more of her. I want to see more, like, the sandwiches, And the guy who kept, you know, kept sticking around, asking her out, you know, to see if they actually went on that date. That's what I'm looking for. Like, that was a character that I loved, and I wish we could see a lot more of.
Forgot about her. That's a good one. I want to see more Rudy. Yeah. We didn't see enough Rudy this year. I'd really like to see Rudy come back with a force, because he's one of the funniest. The best Rudy episode is when he becomes the Gaga Ball bully.
Mm-hmm.
But ever since then, like, Rudy's really grown on me. I want it because, you know, he's got the crush on the girl that Louise hates. Mm-hmm. And I think potential love triangle's kind of forming there, mm-hmm. which I think is great. There hasn't been a lot of strong Zeke episodes this season. He's been a side character, but, like,
mm-hmm.
I think he's me and yours, like, favorite side character that didn't get a lot of love this year.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'm looking forward to moving to season 13. The movie, I have no idea what's going to come. I purposely avoided spoilers. And
we've hit the end of the season, and so now, yeah, we've got a whole movie, and then the next season starts. So, and I've never, you're right, I have no idea what to expect.
And I think that's a good thing. So, I hope it's not just a 2-hour episode of Bob. I hope there's a big reveal, or there's a reason. I hope there's not a spider pig.
Uh-huh. See, that's where I'm like, I almost hope it is an episode, or feels more like the episodes, because I mean, I remember watching the Wee Bear Bears movie, and that, you know, felt very jarring. A lot of times when, you know, the shows make the transition to the movie, they put them in situations that you're just like, I wasn't expecting this, I'm not used to this, and sometimes it works, but a lot of times it doesn't, and so I'm hoping that, you know, they found a way to translate the show to a movie setting, but to retain, like, what we love about it, even if it feels different, you know, for it to still have that Bob's tone to it. I feel like it's a tricky thing, because you can't do it the same way you do the show, but you also can't remove it too much from the show without losing, you know, the spirit of why it's there in the first place.
Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, man, thanks for having me on, man. This was a lot of fun.
We are Pop Culture Uncovered. You can find us at popcultureuncovered.com, Pop Culture Uncovered on Facebook, and PC Uncovered on Twitter and Instagram. You guys have a great Memorial Day weekend, and catch up on Bob's Burgers before the movie comes out.